approve the minutes from the February 23rd special board meeting.
I'll make a motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Approve the budget to actual reports for the month of February.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Approve the payment of bills for February 23rd and March 14th abstracts.
I'll make the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Carried. Public comments. We have Mr. Randazzo here tonight from Mid-Hudson Cable. He would like to speak for a minute or two.
Thank you.
Is there a couple of questions?
As Brian said, my name is Vince Randazzo. I'm an engineer at Mid-Hudson Cable. I've been with them for 1,000 years, I think, this year, 37 years, actually. Mid-Hudson, I'm sure you know, delivers broadband to the entire village via our coax cable system, data over a coax plant, which is a good medium for delivering, but as time has evolved and demand for more bandwidth has increased, upgrading the coax plant no longer makes sense. We figured out how to deliver this internet to the houses via light. We don't have to convert it to RF and then have a series of amplifiers and power supplies to deliver it. We can deliver that light right to the house now. That's referred to as GPON or gigabit passive optical network. We are in the process of upgrading our plant to that. In 2016, the federal government released Cable America funds, and that was to reach out and build cable to areas that had absolutely no service, internet service to areas with no service, particularly. Mm-hmm. It's taken us this long to wrap that up. It was a 3-year process. It actually ran to about 5. These government really didn't have much of an idea how any of that worked. So when they threw this all out there, they didn't know how long it would take. But we've gotten through it. Most cable providers, the good ones at least, had the insight to think, well, if I have to deliver a service to an area that doesn't have it now, I'm just not going to run a piece of fiber out to it. I'm going to plan ahead for Sunday where I can use this to back out of the cable plant. And we've been working on this for about 5 years now, since that's happened. I brought two maps. One shows the coverage area of Mid-Hudson completely, red being coax, blue being our fiber optic. I'll leave these up here for you to look at. The whole village is covered, but some of these areas, Carpenter Road, out there, Prusa Road, other places where we had to deliver, we had to run fiber through the village that already had service with coax to get to these areas. So to do that, we had to lay down not only fiber to get to these areas, a new backbone to get back to Hudson. Mm-hmm. So when we did this, we had the foresight to know at some point we're going to back out of the cable plant and we want everything to be fiber, and we've been working to that effect. We've concentrated on the areas of highest density and highest usage, Hudson, Catskill. We're working out of those areas. Believe it or not, Philmont is one of the highest internet uses villages in our whole plant. I've always been perplexed by that, but we've had to split this node a few times now. So it's already something that we want to address because Philmont is using that much bandwidth. There's a lot of federal money out there. If you've read the news, Senator Delgado announced that Congress, Senate signed the bill for broadband infrastructure. There were a lot of little extras for these towns and states. Now, I don't know if you've been involved with this process, but a lot of the towns in the county have. Ghent, Austerlitz, Hillsdale, all have been chipping away, trying to line up money for these. But they have a different dynamic than Philmont, whereas they're trying to get money to come up with funds to build these areas. Your area's already built. I don't have to go through the licensing process. I don't have to build a plant. It's basically upgrading on top of what's there. So for Philmont, it's going to be easier. If you know, we're not saying we won't do it. You know, we need money to do this. We would plan to do it anyway. But a lot of towns, as they are able to get some funds, they reach out to us and see what they can do and how would it serve their community the best. So right now is the time to be reaching out for those funds. And if you need some information on where to go and where to ask, I can give you some of that information to steer you in the right direction. Like I said, everybody's looking for broadband money right now. Philmont has that piece of map as it shows. You're one of the few communities in the county that's fully served. There's a lot of gaps in the woods out there. You get into Hillsdale, it's pretty bad. A lot of blank spots. Those last miles are very expensive to serve. But once again, you don't face the dynamic. It's going to be a lot easier to do Philmont, to retrofit it. A, because you've got the infrastructure in place, and B, we've been planning on it, you know, to get to that point where we can start backing out of these extreme areas. So with that said, we are already in the process. We've counted the houses, and that's something I wanted to ask. We show about 580 houses in the village, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So is there, if I use that number, we'll stick with that, 580. Now what I do is I come up with a rough design and cost, you know, how many miles and how much of a fiber, break it all down. And we can present it to you as it's coming up. And if you want to chase funds to help us meet that, that would facilitate it, you know. I think it would be faster. I think we might have to do it in phases. I don't want to have to do that. I'd rather come in and do the whole village at once. And the other thing I'd like to do is, rather than have two services up on the pole and say you can choose either the coax or the fiber, is transition everybody who's an existing coax customer to the fiber. Because there's no point in having to spend money that's ultimately going to get transferred to the customer's fees. If I can shut down this cable plant, it'll save us money. You know, and that's, you know, when we have dual systems running, that's just more expensive. It's not necessary. So that's our plan, to come to Philmont and slowly work our way out of the coax plant.
Would going to fiber for everybody increase our fees?
The prices are basically the same. The only time you will see an increase in the fees if you choose to take expanded packages. Most households don't need a gig symmetric, all right? If you're a husband and wife and you're at home, you have two iPhones. See, they define broadband as 25 megabits down and 8 megabits up. And even since that came out as the edict in 2016, that's kind of slow even by now standards. I mean, we're working way faster now. Our basic package is 200 by 10. Okay, the other thing about coax is we have the obstacle of not being able to offer a symmetrical package. We can offer you 200 megabits down, but only 10 up. And that's just due to the laws of physics when it comes to coax plant. With the fiber, we're able to offer symmetrical packages, 100 by 100, 200 by 200. Most customers don't need more than 100 by 100. If you've got a house full of kids and they're all gamers, maybe. If you're, you know, a business and you're editing movies, moving a lot of, you know, high definition video, that's a bandwidth hog, but most people don't need that much. So there's not a big need to jump up to the bigger package. You can still keep a small package at basically the same cost of what you're paying out.
Is it gonna cost the homeowners to have that transferred from coax to fiber?
I would like to say no at this point. I mean, that's my goal, is to convert you anyway, to get out of the cable plant. It costs a lot of money for the electronics. Just the electricity to run the cable plant's pain. And it's a weakness. Because every time power company goes out, I mean, we have battery backups, but they only last 4 hours. You guys have dealt with NYSEG a long time. You know,
good.
It takes a long time sometimes when we get the power back on. So with the fiber, we don't experience a lot of those outages or maintenance issues because the equipment's just not there. It's light from Hudson to your house.
So we've heard that they cost roughly $2,000 per household to run the fiber. Is that correct in your estimation?
No, that's typically, you're here in your village, most of your installations are less than 300 feet. That's a standard install cost. We don't charge any extra for that.
You don't charge any extra for that?
We provide the first 250 feet on a standard install. And if it's a grant fiber, it's 300 feet.
Okay.
If you have a long driveway, 1,200 feet long, if it's aerial, we'll charge you a buck a foot beyond, you know, the allotted footage. Undergrounds, it depends. Some customers like to say, you know, I'll dig the trench to save money. And we're down with that. You know, we're very willing to work with you. And part of the monies that are being distributed are not only to build the infrastructure to meet the house that's 300 feet away, but also there's money out there to get the house that's beyond the 300 foot point. Because as I was explaining to Deb earlier, I mean, it could cost me 50 grand to one house that's a mile in the road. If it's by itself, and then you have to get permission to get on the poles, and the power company says, oh, you gotta change this pole. This one's $16,000. This one's $30,000. This is a cross arm. I'm spending 50 grand to get the one house that's gonna pay $100 a month. So they understand that. They understand that there's long driveways and try to allocate funds just for that extra footage. So that's out there. A lot of these towns are well into the process, but the legislation was just signed last week. So there's still time to reach out and see what's available for your municipality.
So do I understand you correctly that if we get grant money, we get an additional 50 feet of connectivity? Or
the grant stuff that was associated with the Cable America Fund. They said, listen, you have for, you know, a standard installation has to be 300 feet. Where typically we do 250.
250. And so if we were able to get some of that grant money, how would that impact?
Grant money is careful with the title there. I'll say money from the government rather than grant right now. They have two piles of money. They're working with money to get infrastructure built to where there isn't any and get help the customers who are way off the road, who otherwise would be spending, you know, several thousands of dollars just to get their own service beyond what we are.
You have to fish new fiber optic cable through the homes?
With the fiber optics, we no longer use coax. We use Ethernet.
So you would need to go into each home and fish wire through.
We would remove the coax and replace it with Ethernet wire. That's if you choose TVs. A lot of people don't take the TV service. It is available. We offer IPTV, same lineup that we have currently, but you're not obligated to take it. 90% of the populace out there are, you know, half my age and streaming. They just stream. Not many people take the service, and that's part of the reason why the costs for cable TV are so expensive. You know, we pay astronomical amounts of money to produce it because we are charged, we have to carry channels, and they charge us to carry them. As the viewership goes down on cable TV, that cost, you know, gets spread out to the customer. It's unfair. We don't want anybody to have to take it. You can get content without having to keep cable TV.
Where else do you have this running right now, or where do you have it running?
Well, we cover three counties.
Okay, is there like a very dense spot that would be similar to Philmont that we could look at or get an idea about?
Sure. I mean, we just fibered Athens.
Great. Perfect.
We have it all assembled. We're waiting for some parts to come in, but we'll be shortly deploying it to all the homes in the village.
So that'd be a great place to watch and see as it develops.
That would be. But there are also areas within the grant right here in the town or in Clobber where you can see the stuff that's been deployed, which would be the same. Mm-hmm. For the Cable America Fund was put up with the anticipation of having to do the rest of the town later on.
Yeah.
So you can go up to Swiss Farms Road or up to Roxbury or up to Prusa Road and see that plant up
but there. There's no service there, correct? Oh, there is service.
We service
and that. Service. Okay,
that's,
cool.
That's why we did it.
One other question. You said that the grant money isn't necessary to bring this in, but we can get some grant funding. How would that impact our residents, whether we
get grant money funding? Is specific to infrastructure. I've seen towns use it for water and sewage, but most of them are looking to use it for broadband. There is wiggle room on where you can use it. Some of them You could, I think some of the monies were actually, and I'm not sure if this was the ARPA money, is related to COVID that was given to some of the towns, was actually, you could use it to pay down some bills even, you know, with it at the town level, or use it for this infrastructure or others. A lot of towns right now are specifically branding it, broadband, before it gets watered down into, well, I need, you know, a water line or a sewer line. It's a lot easier just to earmark it now and have it get spent in the way you intended to get it.
And fiber optics is to get internet in a home. You say you don't need an Ethernet for internet.
Well, yeah, think of your, do you have cable TV at your home?
No.
Larry, you do?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you got one wire coming to the house, hits a splitter, and then you have four other wires going to four other TVs, okay? All those wires would get stripped out, they'd be replaced with Ethernet wire versus coax, if you chose to have TVs. If you just want internet, you only need one DMARC, one location. And then you can have wireless throughout the house without rewiring it.
Gotcha, okay.
A lot of TVs, you all have smart TVs. A lot of them are wireless. You can watch Netflix. You didn't have to run an extra wire and do it, right? That's a beautiful part about having that in place. So a lot of homes don't require rewiring. You know, if you have a couple of most new TVs or smart TVs with a Wi-Fi capability, so they can utilize the service without any further rewiring. If you do specifically want cable TV, you will need a box and a wire run to that location.
All right.
Can you leave your contact information with our clerk, Trish, so that we can? That we can all get it?
Yeah, I left it with Deb. She has my email, and I'll leave you a card if that helps.
Thank you.
My cell phone's on there, and if anybody has any questions, you can reach out.
And I'll be in touch with the map, the zoning map, and
okay. Well, if I see that's what it is, I'll go to the village's website. I want to make sure that when I do my figures for the village, I'm not including streets that are, you know, on the Clyburg side of the line or not. So I want to get that copy that fits on the website. I'll just use that.
So is there a fee to the village, or just the village residents that use it?
Well, the regular fees, you know, your cable cost, your monthly cost, once you know, your cable TV would go from cable to fiber, you really wouldn't see a change in the price. Only, like I said, if you went in bandwidth. The cost for us to do this is a large capital investment. It's expensive. A lot of towns are offering, you know, if there's money to be had, maybe they'll put in 20% or X. That's something you have to work out with how much money you want to chase. But otherwise, I was explaining before, you don't have the infrastructure issues that they have, where you have to apply for licenses and wait for licenses and get permits from the state. Because our infrastructure is in place, it's going to be considerably cheaper to do, which would make it easier for us. When the towns that are offering money do so to make it go quicker, or in your case where you have infrastructure in place, rather than have to do it in two phases,
okay,
you know, or in two quarters, they'll say, well, we'll kick in a little bit so you do it all at once. And like the areas in Ghent where they don't have any service, they're getting monies to help actually create the actual infrastructure and pay for the licensing and help pay for the make ready.
So if you're going to get rid of coax eventually anyway, suppose we sit back and do nothing.
You could.
And then are you at some point going to come through and just do it?
At some point, yes. But what, Deb's concerns were that the town feels that the village is not served by coax efficiently, that it's time for it to evolve. And to make that happen in a more rapid succession, that's going to require.
I understand about the speed, but if we were just to sit back and do nothing, you're going to come and do this eventually anyway.
Eventually.
Yeah.
If you're interested in moving it up, you know, you put it on the front burner, that's when, you know, we have to, you know, we can discuss some funding. And I couldn't tell you right now what we'd be looking for, but just so you know, if there's money out there to be had right now, is the opportunity for the town, you know, you have a chance for free money, basically.
And you're gonna give us that information where we should go looking for that.
Take advantage of it while you can grab it. You know, maybe you decide you don't want to use it for broadband, maybe you want to use it for the sprinkler system. You know, it would be a shame if you missed out on it.
Anybody else? Anybody got any questions out there? For him?
So I didn't hear you say how long you thought it would take, but I think we do pursue this funding.
Well, let's say the town said, we want this to happen right now. We want it to be done immediately, we have a need. Then we would, once again, I'm gonna continue to figure out a quote, we just figured out the ASCO. Take us a couple of weeks to come up with a price. And then within that quote would be the timetables to complete. Our construction crew usually runs at about 7,000 feet a day for what I call overlash. And what overlash means is where they don't have to build new infrastructure, but just attach to what's already up there. So if you're looking at 7 miles, you know, it's probably a couple of weeks worth of work just to hang it, and then a few more weeks to assemble it. But you won't have to go through the process of all the licensing, which is very time consuming and expensive.
Peter?
It seems to me that if your company, Mid Hudson Cable, were to do this village, it would be of considerable value to the company as a demonstration site. So I'm wondering how that type of advertising might figure in the way you calculate the prices that would be ultimately charge. And the second question is, I understand already that one or two streets, I don't know if it's Church or Prospect, Verizon has put down cabling.
Their conduit is in the ground.
So does that mean you could negotiate with that, with Verizon, or the village would have to negotiate with Verizon to use the conduit?
I don't know where they put the conduit or what their intent is. A lot of times when I see new conduit go in by Verizon, they've got a bad piece of copper somewhere and they've got to come up with a new path for it. They're bleeding money on the copper part of their plan. I have seen no indicators to see that they would be able to be building a fiber optic network in the village.
So what about my first
as a showcase, if
right,
you will.
Right.
Mid Hudson is always eager to, you know, to brag about their service, of course. As far as it, you know, how would it work out? Were you talking about the price?
Right.
Work,
the pricing, being that we would be another model for you to be able to propagandize.
So a pricing for the customer.
Well, customer and.
We have talked about, you know, making, you know, a price for Philmont so they would understand. We don't want it to be different than everybody else. We don't want to be, you know, we want everybody to charge everybody fairly the same amount of money. But when it comes to packages for individual residences, there is room for negotiation there as well as what it would cost to do the project. You know, Steve Soki is our chief financial officer, and has already expressed that he would discuss that aspect of it with you. But I just wanted to let you know that, you know, this is not something we just thought of, hey, let's go do film on. We've been working towards this for a while with the intent of eventually getting the whole village. And if you want to move that up, we're willing to work with you, but you know, the logistics being what they are.
Yeah.
And that's where we'd be talking about funding. I can leave that card and I'll make sure that Deb gets the information. I'll email it to you.
Yeah, that sounds good. Thank you for coming today.
Can I leave these maps with you here?
Yeah.
Leave one of the people.
Yeah.
Once again, This one here on top is the full coverage area. The red represents the coax, the blue represents the fiber that we've installed to meet the broadband grant in 2016. This one is the same.
Is that on there, the key, or what those colors mean?
Yeah, I'll write them down.
Yeah, if you could put it on the bottom.
And then the second map is basically devoid of any cable TV. It just shows the fiber optic that's in place currently, and you can see there's quite a bit of here already. And that's what we want to incorporate that into the new design. So that's what that is.
Is it being utilized?
The new?
No, the fiber optic that's here now.
Oh yeah, okay. And we've gotten a decent response from it. Usually about 40% usually when we go through. You know, the broadband office doesn't understand how the business works. They think that every house you buy is gonna take it. It doesn't work like that. Sometimes nobody wants it, but you're obligated to put it up, so yeah. We put it up. Could I borrow your pen for just a second? Any time?
Has anybody got anything else for him?
Brian, Sarah, you sent a survey out about the broadband. How did that survey come back?
So that's a countywide survey, and I don't have the results of that. The county is, I think, using it to understand, you know, on a county level where there's service and where it's weak, and I.
Well, thank you, Vince, for coming.
Thank you all for taking a few minutes to listen to me. I appreciate it. Good to see you. I will leave this here by far. You know what?
Peter, you're next.
Yeah, I have a couple of items. One is about the township of Broderick. Since we pay taxes there, and admittedly, the most of that money that we pay annually to them goes to the county, but a certain amount is for them. And I was trying to figure out what actually do they give Fillmore? Clearly the park, the fields, the facility, and that. So my question to the trustees is, what is the value that we receive for the taxes we pay to that township other than the park? And one of the reasons I'm asking this is because they're going to build a new town hall. And I hope that the trustees make sure that we have several people that are qualified to deal with this sort of project on their committees or a variety of committees that are going to investigate the nature of that building, the relationship with the High Falls area, the relationship with Philmont, so that we don't get stuck paying a bill for a building that's highly energy efficient or ineffective or doesn't serve the needs of this community just because we were silent. So I'm appealing to the board to make sure that we have a voice at that table consistently, not after something is already totally developed and we're simply told, because our tax money is going into that. So that's the first thing. The second thing is the rental registration and inspection, how that is progressing. And I've brought up several times the cost to the village for this software, which was over $3,500. We're paying over $750 for the annual. Is there any evidence that the software is being used effectively and with knowledge? And if it is, we're getting reports. We should have reports back, for instance. It seems to be running about 3 or 4 inspections a month. At that rate, the inspections done for the entire village could be up to sometime in 2030. That doesn't seem like a very effective program. We also don't know if the inspections, how many don't pass and why they don't pass. And because we have a volunteer fire department, it seems to me it's really important that the fire department is aware that building X or building Y on this street has failed, and failed in ways that can jeopardize the health and welfare of the fire force. But is any of this information being recorded in the expensive software we have? Or would it be better off just to use Excel and save the taxpayers $750 for renewal? I don't know the software, so we need some sort of budgetary responsibility. And you know, I'm just very disappointed at the inability to provide information. And it really comes down, if you have an ordinance and the ordinance can't be effectively implemented, then people either become cynical or they simply ignore it. So apropos to ignoring it, what does the data show for the number of properties that never registered, yet have ignored that December 31st deadline? Do we know how many ignored that?
We do not. And we as a village board have been working a lot on this. It's come budget time. We are gonna hire somebody else to just do the rental registry. It's a work in progress, that's all I can say. But we aren't letting it slide. We are working with it. It's been a subject at most of our meetings, most of our workshops. We are not just sitting back and letting this thing go. We've had meetings upon meetings for this. So Peter, you just need to give us some time.
Okay, well, it's...
I know it's not happening fast enough for you, Peter. I do know that, but we are a small village. We don't have the resources that you had where you came from. We do have the software. There is a glitch. We're working on getting that glitch fixed.
I understand that Clover hired a new building inspector and an assistant that does the data entry and all that, and they have collected a significant amount of money and fines and that. So maybe this will truly pay for itself.
And that was the whole idea behind the thing, but it's a work in progress.
I mean, do you see a terminal date?
I can't give you that. I'm not going to give you that. My December 31st deadline didn't work. So, you know, we're working with it. We're doing the best that we can.
Are there things that people in the community...
No, there's not. Because we need qualified people to go inspect these homes. Our building inspector only works 6.5 hours a week. And it's tough to get things done like that, especially when you have other businesses to attend to. So we are, like I said, we're in the process, we're working with it, and we will get it rectified.
And I think I'd like to speak on behalf of Clawrick I guess I'm out of turn, but the amount of taxes that we pay to Clawrick is minuscule.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I think I pay $70, $100 a year. And the amount of benefit that we get from that is enormous. I think David would back me up on this. If we need an extra excavator, if we need some dump trucks, if one of our vehicles breaks down, who do you call?
Clover.
Right.
And here we offer Clover, and our tax dollars go there. And I use that as an excuse.
And we work as a team, and we're all in shared services. So I have never felt badly about the amount of taxes I've paid Clover.
Well, I certainly hope that we have a voice in the decision of a major building project.
Like $1,200 on $1,170.
I would recommend you go down to the Clover meetings.
I just wrote a check to Clover.
How'd you get by with $70? I just wrote a check for $1,200.
That's town and county.
Oh.
Okay. Most of that goes to the county. The town is a very small part of it.
Yeah.
Very small.
Yeah, plus we use their roads to drive the Hudson.
I mean, just their DPW alone, as many times as they've come and helped.
More than worth it.
Yeah.
But do we get a position on that board, on the committee that's, working on the new town hall, I guess is the question I'm hearing.
As residents of the Village of Philmont, you do, but as a neighboring municipality, they might give you some audience, but you're not going to have a jurisdiction over what they do. Yeah. I'm obviously the Clawbrook town attorney and attended their last town board meeting, and they have John Bradley, I believe his name is, on the town climate smart committee, and he has been making a push to the Clawbrook town board to make sure they use appropriate initiatives to make an energy efficient, cost effective, appropriate use. Try to wrap it in with the High Falls project with the falls over there, because the plan would be to rebuild on the existing site. The town's just at the point where they're exploring environmental demolition, asbestos abatement, anything that's going on in the site. So they have an engineer looking at it, and they're just at the point where they've commissioned, and I don't know if they've received yet, a survey, so they can identify what the actual parcel boundaries are. So it's very preliminary for them, but they are aware, and they're pressured every month by the Climate Smart. And he meets with Kippy and says, these are the boxes you need to check going forward with the design for the building. So it's not falling on a blind ear, is my point. I've seen it just being at the meetings.
Anybody got anything else? Jeff?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and happy St. Patrick's Day early, everyone. I always like to publicly thank people who are doing an outstanding job. And Deborah, thank you for putting that up on the Village website about the American Legion and our hometown banners and Memorial Day. Thank you for doing that. And David, thank you for DPW keeping the streets cleaned up on Summer Street so the speeders can still keep going up and down and raising the dust up there. That's too bad. Last week, one nice day, I'm outside sitting in my lounge chair, and the police car went by our house on Summer Street and actually stopped, and the traffic actually slowed down between the hours of 3 and 4:30. I couldn't believe it. There was no dust that came up. The cars did their 30 miles an hour, and they did it. Thank you, police, whoever that was, the officer was up there. But that's just a reminder from us on Summer Street that it's from 7 in the morning to 8:30 in the morning, because everybody's going to school or going that way to work, and then from 3 in the afternoon, 4:30 in the afternoon, they're coming back down Summer Street, and the way they go. Anyway, so that's my
Just let me dig.
it's Dick Howard, right? He's up and down the street.
His vehicle don't go that fast.
I'm here to talk about, as a Legionnaire, a veteran here in the Village, and I'm here to talk about Memorial Day. First of all, we are a go for Memorial Day, and we will have a parade on that particular day. At this point, almost everything is finalized, and I will get a final letter out officially inviting the Village Board there to that. But the parade lineup will be here on Maple Avenue this year. Again, like we did last year, again, it's going to be the fire companies, Girl Scouts. There is a Girl Scout unit here in the Village. I spoke with a lady who sung Girl Scout cookies not too long ago down there by the post office, and she's going to have her girls come in March. The school band, I was in contact. The school band doesn't even have a band anymore. The school doesn't have a band anymore because only 9 people signed up for the band. At the Conic Hills, and because of COVID, they couldn't even have practice. They couldn't even get out there. But they can put a drum line in for me. There'll be a drum line from the Conic Hills to help us make sure where the left foot goes before the right foot coming down the street on that. So that's good. Same lineup, 9:00. We'll have our guest speaker is Stephen May, who's a Vietnam veteran, highly decorated Vietnam veteran who lives here in the town of Clawbrook and is a member of our American Legion. Any questions on Memorial Day? But I will definitely get an official letter out inviting all the board members and the mayor to come, and the Village residents also. Second thing I would like to bring up is our hometown banners that you might know about, and I'm sure you do know about it. We have, as of today, we have 36 banners sold 36 veterans who live here in Philmont / Melville area and growing each day. In fact, I picked one up tonight from coming down the street, Phyllis Nichols, Charles Nichols' wife. I just picked up one on the way down. So now we have 37, and I know 38 is coming in very soon. David's brother. There are 55 poles on Main Street. So we have 37 unfilled right now. And I'm turning back. I know each pole that the village DPW puts up American flags, put the banners out for us on those poles too. Some of those, we can still put those American flags up. We looked at them, you know, the ones that have poles on them. Plus the banner, the Hometown Hero banners, can go on there. There is space for that. They need 16 feet off the top of the pole, or off the ground level, off 16 feet for that traffic, according to regulations, what I'm reading on that. So we are asking, again, the DPW, the Village of Philmont, to help us out with that when that time comes to put those banners up. We as Legionnaires will also help if we can in some way. We can't climb the ladders, but put those poles up. Banners up. If we run out of room, I hope we do on Main Street, there's always Maple Avenue. There's other streets too. I was at a senior citizen meeting the other this week, and I went there as a guest, not as a senior citizen, and spoke to them about our banner, Hometown Heroes, and actually I had some people from the Clarvick area wanted to know if they could put a banner up. I said, of course you can, and we'll put it by your home, wherever you like it in the town of Clarvick. So this is starting to spread out, which is good. We have one family, the McFarlane family here in the village, has asked to put their whole family together, you know, the five poles together with the whole family all lined up on it, and we said we would do that too. So anywhere that people recommend to put it on the poll, we will try to do that for them. Memorial Day, this. And the third thing is, and I didn't know Peter was going to bring this up, I was on a mutual aid call here in the village the other day, a cardiac arrest here on Main Street. And they said we responded to the location, there was an apartment, and we couldn't find the. I came up, I said, no, there's no apartment here. And actually you had to walk beside the house, you had to walk like this between a wall and a fence in the building to get around the back to where the apartment was. One way in, one way out. So he doesn't even have a back door in this apartment. It was a cardiac arrest. Unfortunately, the person didn't make it, but I'm saying, if there was a fire here, I don't even know how we as volunteers could drag holes into this apartment. So I didn't know you were gonna bring this up tonight, and I was here just to say that too. We need to do some better inspections on these apartments. And no smoke detector in the house either. Maybe there was, they took it down because they need the battery for something. I don't know that, but no smoke detectors. Again, election day tomorrow, and hope the people come out and vote the right way, and congratulations already for you two guys. And anything we can do up in the Upper Summer Street, the residents are up there to help you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jeff.
Any questions I should ask? Is there any questions? Okay, good.
David?
I'm here to also ask for the Community Day. I know this is about the time we ask every year. We're going to be probably planning out a parade again this year and the fireworks, because we weren't allowed to have meetings until up to recently, and it takes a whole year to really plan. So well, hopefully we're going to go ahead with the fireworks and the parade again, and I'm asking for it'll be next year's budget. But this is the time of year we usually ask for the $2,500 towards the fireworks and the parade on Community Day.
I had a great time with that last year.
Do you have a date picked for community day?
I do not. I actually just got the date that my students will be going to Cicero, and probably be the week after that. And June, July, I'm sorry.
Well, I'm sure we can get you the $2,500.
We can add that to the motion for you.
To?
Yeah, I'll do the reports.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Reports of committees. Rob?
Just ongoing projects the board's aware with. We're working on short-term rentals. We've got a meeting with Labor Council tomorrow on a couple of minor issues. And obviously the Woods subdivision is pending before the planning board. So there's new submissions coming in on that, but that's it.
3 o'clock or 3:30 is that meeting?
3:30.
Trish?
Village elections will be held on Tuesday, March 15th from noon to 9 at the Village Hall to elect 2 trustees and 1 justice. Budget estimates were sent out via email to all department heads on February 3rd. Budget proposals were due back by the end of February. So Bob Patterson and I are now working on putting the numbers together so a draft can be sent to the board by the 20th deadline. I did take the training for the electric car charging station on February 9th. And we have noticed still an increase in requests for death certificates and need for notary services. And thank you to anyone who stopped in to check on me while I was by myself. Or help me out, yeah, and today.
Can you tell me about the car charging station? I see you didn't say it, but you brought in some money.
$2.16.
And how does that work if you're a electric charger owner? They put their credit card in the
machine? It's an app.
It is an app on your smartphone, right? You download it, and while you're there, you have like an email and a username and.
So are we going to be giving that money to the library?
No,
it's $550 a year to run it.
Yeah, and electric and everything else.
Oh, I didn't think of electric on top of that.
Well, let's see how much money it makes before we worry about where we're gonna give it.
Well, it's $2.16, you know, that's big bucks.
Yeah,
burn a hole in your pocket.
Can you see how many users there were of it?
Yes.
How many unique users there were? Was it just one car?
Ask me that again. There's like 7 different reports that you can do.
Okay.
So I have to go into it and say, but yeah, you can.
Cool.
Just keep us up to date. It's interesting.
It is actually very interesting.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking that.
Building inspector's report.
Received March 10th, February 2022 report. Tennessee CO issued 4, Tennessee inspections 4, rental registry issued 3, building permits 3, construction inspections 2, CO CC issued 1, CO searches 2, complaints received and investigated, minor genital hand disease, he does not report to me. Zoning review, referral on new projects, 1 Philmont Holding variances for a lot line adjustment. Village of Philmont, code enforcement, Lehigh.
Library.
Obviously there's a motion on here to hire a new employee for the library, which we'll get to later. They're still waiting, the library's still half closed because of the damage from the pipe bursting, which is a problem. We're waiting on George to come in, or our new engineer to come in and see what we need to do to fix that and get approval from the insurance company. I'm working with Toby for the end of this month to write a grant for the after school or the summer adventure program. I'm not sure if it has a name exactly what it is. But anyway, they want to send 5 kids from Philmont on 5 field trips this summer with the Clawbrick Town Park as part of their program. And we're hoping to be able to fund that to pay for the buses and lunches. There were 100 people that used the library in person in the attended programming, and 350 people were actually in the physical library.
Or?
In good amount, actually, despite not being open.
Community Center, Doug.
Okay, this is Mr. Ramsey's report for February. The center's been checked regularly. Cub Scouts and Scout leaders use the center. Additional programming is going to be resuming in the spring. She participated in a meeting with representatives from the Department of Mental Health and Greener Pathways, who have both used the center recently. Mental Health suggested that proximity to the community center is too far removed to be accessed by many residents. That's it.
Police report.
You know, on the Summit Street, 2 years back, I did a traffic detail on Summit Street. Stopped probably 8 cars, 5 of the cars lived on Summit Street.
Mm-hmm.
Just give it a heads up.
So in other words, we got to take care of ourselves.
I'll bet half of them were under 30.
We used to do that early morning.
We got 6 people that live on Summit Street in here right now.
What are you guys?
All right, called the service. We had 12. One arrest, but it was 8 low. It was suspended license. 97 property checks. Screw the voice. One motor vehicle accident, 8 UTTs, 2 was from Summer Street.
That's good.
And 6 warnings.
Do you guys still have somebody that can do the workplace violence training?
Yeah, well, I was talking to Burrow about it. I said to him, I said, we really, really, really need to. And he said, we will figure out a date. I suggested maybe sometime around the April workshop. But we're still working on the date.
I think Keith can do it, Zobel.
What is Keith? And
he's trainer.
I don't know. Let's ask him.
Okay. We've got to check the date.
What's a UTT?
Oh, traffic unified ticket. Like a traffic ticket.
Got to make sure I'm
Uniform traffic ticket.
We'll
do 2.
Officer in uniform traffic ticket?
Yeah, it's when you get those papers in. Those invitations to court.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. As soon as I speak to Vern about the date, we'll.
All right. So we have to get that done. That tentatively right now is the April workshop. We're going to do this.
Okay.
Sexual harassment and work.
Oh, that is tomorrow.
We're
not really diving deep in it.
Yeah. Okay. He doesn't vote for one night. We did it last year.
No.
And he circulated that.
Okay. All right. Are you done?
Yes.
Thank you. Sally?
Good evening. So another good month for the BOA and the LWRP. So attended the BOA co-chair standing meeting with Mark Benson and Molly Savell, chair of the Algonquin Creek Watershed Management Plan. Attended Rusty Ostrand, who was out of town. We reviewed letters of interest received from Robert Holt, who lives on Summit Street, to join the Heritage Working Group, and from David Bolivar's to join Sub-Area 1 Working Group. That's for the playground. Reported that the Heritage presentation by Matt Kirsten, got moved to July for various reasons, one being COVID. We reviewed the summary notes of the LWRP Watershed Advisory Committee, the meeting that was held on January 31st. Reported that the town of Ghent supervisor, Craig Simmons, is now participating on the Watershed Advisory Committee. That's very good, because we were very much delayed in terms of Ghent joining that. He's on, which is good. And we reviewed a cost estimate received from Jesse Ravage, preservation specialist, for her fees to draft the National Registry nomination for the Shawmut Historic District. Cost is $23,245. PV Inc. to submit a request to the village board, which I believe is on the agenda for tonight for a motion, for a letter of support to accompany a PV Inc. grant application to Reserve New York to assist with the Ravage fee. Reserve New York's grant maximum this year has just gone up. It went from 10 to 14,000. It's still not enough. So there's a gap there. There are no grant administration fees included in the Reserve New York grant. So that's something to consider. Additional grants will be needed to meet the total cost of Ravage's fees, 23,245. Remainder of the BOA committee, reminder to the BOA committee that reminder, please, the BOA committee was made in the meeting that the Heritage Working Group proposal, which was submitted to the village board in December, requested an amount of $5,000 to be budgeted by the village to assist with the village of Philmont Historic District nomination consultation fees. So I don't know if that's on your budget. That's a sort of question. Did it make it?
$5,000 for the historic?
No, was the proposal that came in December. Trish, is that actually on anything that's in front of you in Bob Patterson?
I can certainly make it a point to.
Right. It's a heavy lift, you know, to keep doing this. The historic district would appreciate the way to look at that. So the Bell Grant update. Mark Rontree and I did a presentation on the community center for the library board. And the objective of doing that presentation was for the library to become involved in the project for continuing discussions. There was a mixed response to that presentation, in fact, as it turns out. So we're looking into that. Why it received a mixed response. I haven't got anything new to say on that. A couple of people left early, didn't stay for the whole presentation, was on Zoom. So still kind of looking at that. We set up a date for the BOA project initiation meeting to take place for the DRF, probably bringing that to our meeting. PBI is assisting the new owners of 56 Main Street to apply for the use of preservation tax credits for the planned renovations. 56 Main Street, as some of you who are familiar with the BOA plan know that that's a selected site. I have to say that those meetings have gone terrifically well, and the new owners are thrilled, and we've connected all the dots all the way through, finding her the person to write the nomination for the building, linking in SHPO, linking in parks, and the owners are like, wow, this is an incredible service, you know, to be provided with. PBI and Mark Rountree, I'm stepping ahead here, Doug. I included this in this meeting, even though I know that this should really only be kind of like February, but sometimes it gets sort of wacky during just February. So Mark and I did a presentation, I met with Doug Copper and Julie Berrizzoni, Director of the Community Centre. Julie presented an exciting vision for the future uses of the Community Centre based on her experience of being a director for 10 years, including the potential future programming, space usage, expanded use of the lake as a natural resource and asset, and an overview of the facility needs, including lighting, site safety issues, ADA accessibility, which is a big one for that site, and parking. And I have to say that it was an extremely congenial and productive meeting. Both Doug and Julie were also in that meeting, so thanks for that. The BOA project page is now up on PBWIC's website, where updates will be posted. Deborah can take what she likes from that. And then the LWRP watershed, that seems to be also going really well at the moment. We've just heard that Kippy Weigel has just joined, flipping out Stephen Hook. That's an awesome step in the right direction. He's been working on a watershed for the Claverack Creek, and so he's very familiar with watershed and the issues. The next watershed advisory meeting is scheduled for March 19th, and we've organized for the DOS to be hosting the meeting with a presentation on watershed management, watershed planning. All four towns are now represented, including the towns of Claverack, Ghent, Hillsdale, and Austerlitz, with Philmont as the lead agency. That whole WAC group seems to be working really successfully. I've included you, as you wanted to be, to join to represent Philmont on that 19th of March. And the LWRP watershed project is now up on PBWIC's website, and updates will be posted. And that watershed management plan, watershed advisory is now really working cohesively together. That's it.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
David?
Just a question. Are those meetings open to the public?
The watershed ones?
Say that again.
Are the watershed meetings open to the public, or are we going to have a wait?
No, they're committee meetings and they're internal meetings. And eventually, as we can, you know, move along and the consultant is then live, then they will make a decision. There'll be a lot of public outreach there. And in fact, a community participation plan has to be written, and we need to do that. There are a number of steps, internal steps, that have to be taken right now, one of which is a memorandum of understanding or intent. So we're still in this formation of, you know, working out between towns, how the towns want to work. And so they're very much about internal meetings at this point, still not launched in the way that it can be to the public, but it will get there. We've got plenty of time. This project goes until 2025. So the public are not going to be left out. It's just a matter of getting the ducks in the way.
And have we received approval for the link for the community center presentation?
Have we received approval? The summary notes went up. The recording isn't good enough product yet. So it's not going to go up. It's just not a good enough product. And it's not about just having, you know, putting up recordings. They have to be, it's about having a good product to put up. So, no.
How do you make a bad recording better, though? I mean,
you do keep doing the presentation. So Mark and I will keep doing, it's the same presentation. And each time we do it, it's getting better.
It's nothing as serious. You had a technical difficulty, right?
We didn't have a technical difficulty. No, that would be
okay.
Characterizing it correctly. Sorry.
Okay.
No technical difficulty. It's just not a good enough project, you know, product yet.
So
I know that you're very about, you know, we're not under any direction from the DOS to put recordings up. This is a Deborah Gitterman driven.
All right, that's enough of that.
Thank
Let's
you.
Go. Move
okay.
on,
thank
David.
Thank you very much.
March DPW report, garbage recycling, we picked that, put the ball field buildings down with help from Clawrick and Mike Schiller. Cleaned the sidewalks up with help from Clawrick and Burfine. Took down the back step of the ball field. Our new employee took his CDL road test and passed. Getting vehicles inspected and repaired. Issue 22, plowed and sanded multiple times. Worked on the road sweeper, sidewalk sweeper, and we are out, not right now with the snow on the ground, but we are out now picking up the heavy stuff off the road, so don't be impatient. If you see the sweeper go up and you still see some dirt on the road, we're just trying to get the heavy stuff off the road right this minute. Assisted the water department with multiple meter readings, and they are done as of today. Took water and wastewater report, took samples for DEC and health department, all passed. Read the water meters, repaired multiple small leaks, repaired some multiple meters, assisted workers at plant with the upgrading of the project down there, pretty much keep somebody down there all the time for questions and help assisting them. Assisted the DPW with tanks and repairs to the Ventrac, working on the speedies permit, the renewal, Baldwin hauled sludge to Albany. Had a tough spend down at the new plant, met with Bob McFarland regarding some issues on the woods project to benefit the whole taxpayers in the future of the village. He said a few things that's in their meeting. Contacted by George from CPL today about tower work. He's going to come down and look at the tower for the meters and stuff like that. And I think Brian, you've been working with him with that, right? You talked to him about that, so we talked to him today. And working on the repair of the hydrant on Summit Street with Trish and the insurance company and getting the parts ordered to do that. So
We've been busy. The guys are working very well. And we had a truck go down Saturday, and just like it never even happened because everything just smoothly switched over to one guy did just change things and everything worked out pretty good.
Thank you. Mayor's report. Doug and I met with our attorney, the engineer, and the developers for the Woods project. Went over the things about the fees and all the schedules and stuff. Was productive. They seem to be still willing to work with the village, so we'll see how long that lasts. I've been working with David down at the sewer plant and working with Trish and Chrissy. It's been a pretty busy month. Weird month, but a pretty busy month. Doug?
I think you nailed it. Deb and I walked the woods with the developers. We're concerned about the trail and its routing, and that was brought up at the meeting that we attended with Brian and the developers and the attorney and so on. So we're still working on that trail, and we worked on some other issues with the developers. I responded to an issue that happened on Maple Avenue. It was a police issue. Attended the workshop meeting. Had some correspondence regarding the village physician with Rob, and we're working on that. Also worked with Rob regarding some abandoned property that we were finally able to get rid of. The motions and so on were previously made, but we just had some legal issues to deal with. Had to work a bit as a human resources officer from time to time. Brian worked on some of those issues too. And had a meeting with Sally and Julie and Mark Roundtree, as you mentioned before. That was a good meeting. Thank you for setting that up. So.
Jason?
After 6 months, I'm pleased to announce the AirPak money is finally coming to Philmont. So we're purchasing the AirPaks finally. Thank you, Delgado. Working on a library grant. I mentioned that this summer for the kids of Philmont. It should be a great grant. If we can get it, it's $15,000. It's going to pay for all their supplies and maybe some of their family to even go. And it's a real worthwhile thing for Philmont to put on. Dealt with some personal property issues. Someone had some garbage dumped in their lawn and it worked really well. We worked through the appropriate channels and it was taken care of very quickly. Thank Lee and the building department for handling that actually. I went to a 5G citizens meeting about the topic. It was, I don't know how to describe it. It wasn't very fruitful in my opinion. I didn't learn very much about the topic to tell you the truth. Attended Sally and Mark's presentation. And got some resources from Deborah, I believe. I don't think I told you this about resources for people who are getting their water shut off in Philmont. These are some money that will go to them instead of us having to foot the bill. So I'm working on that. That's it.
Blair.
Went to a meeting last Tuesday. Trish was there, Chief Beaumont, and we had Johnny Walker Insurance to discuss insurance for the parade, the convention. I have a question for Rob. Can you get us a sheet?
The hold harmless.
Yeah, Trisha emailed me. I'll get you something.
Okay.
And that's for participants or vendors?
Vendor or even the people that we get the tent from.
Yeah. Larry's worried about the guy on the stage, the dancer.
Yeah. Oh, Donnie Elvis. Just had the monthly email change that I have with Sally and other board members. Investigated some light bulb procurement from Tom for the Climate Smart Community. I think we're going to be able to do something there, Tom. So did that while I was on business at in Port Harrington's out of town. So I was out of town. I did do something productive, but and also we have a need for parking the day of the convention, and I was wondering if we can put fire trucks on Memorial Field out in the old outfield. But we can discuss that under old business or new business. And I have the fire chief's report as well. EMS calls are really taking off. That's not a good thing, but we are able to respond. If anybody has any interest in helping us out on EMS calls, we'll pay for you to become an EMT. You just got to give us a little bit of time. Fire calls for the year are 16, EMS calls for the year 25, total calls 41, drills 3, truck inspections 1. We have hosted our monthly sub night at the firehouse on March 4th, and we had a corned beef and cabbage dinner yesterday. We sold 142 dinners. So thank you for your support on that. That's it.
You were the head chef, right?
Well, if anybody got sick, no.
No, that was good. No, it was great.
Larry, can you say a little more about the EMT training? Like if it's how long the training would take and what it would involve?
It's pretty intensive. The last class my son went through, it was like 12 weeks, and it's every Saturday. So you got to be able to, and I think you're allowed to miss 2 classes for the whole time period.
And then you're just on call?
Well, then you can join the fire company. And you can also work for Greenport, Volusia, Chatham, Copaic, Albany. Unfortunately, EMTs are probably the most underpaid and undervalued job source that we have in this state. They don't make a lot of money, and they're out there. They should be, but that's my personal opinion.
You also have to take a state test. It's not just taking.
Yes, yeah, right. You got to take it. Well, right. you got to take a practical test and a written test.
Yeah,
and you have to score 80 or better to pass.
So I sent a draft short-term rental regulation to Rob, and I, working with Peter Johnson, assembled a form that we can use for our RFQ for a grant writer. I attended the planning board meeting, the February 15th planning board meeting about the woods. I attended the February 17th and March 10th Climate Smart Force Task Force meetings. I'll do a little mini, report from that, which is that we are, Tom is planning an event to, is it, maybe it's too early to say, but to switch out, I think we've decided on an event where we, it's an exchange of incandescent bulbs of residents for LEDs, and that's the idea we're working with. We're also hoping to plan something for the Earth Day on April 22nd, and we are talking with Larry about possible places we can get the LED bulbs for this project, and it will be paid for by the grant that we received for adopting the stretch code. Anything else, Tom?
Yeah. Storage.
Thank you very much. So if we do, we'll need a storage place for the bulbs, and we're wondering if there might be anywhere that the village can provide storage for that.
How much
temporary
room?
How much room? A pallet? How much room would that be?
2 pallets.
2 pallets, and how wide are they?
3 feet by 4 feet.
We can find some place to store them.
Okay.
Do they have to be kept, at the store that we turn them so fast, we don't really have to worry about, but can they sit like over at the warehouse in a dark, dingy mold?
That's not where I was thinking about putting them. What's the accessibility got to be? Are you going to give us time when you need them out, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. How many bulbs is 2 pallets?
I don't know. I've never bought them by the pallet, to be honest with you.
Yeah, because we
but
we
you
really,
you were talking about like 1,200, 1,400 bulbs, I think, right? Something like that.
Right. Yeah. So
to
I
start,
I thought that was one pallet, but maybe.
Yeah.
You know, because we can always reorder.
Right.
So we just want to see how it goes.
And how do we get rid of the old bulbs?
Good question.
Right, because it also besides including incandescents, it's also compressed fluorescent.
Right.
But I believe compressed, you know, Dave, compressed fluorescent can go in the regular trash.
They can.
Yeah. Okay. So it would be regular trash.
And we'll have, you know, some of the funds will go to getting rid of the incandescents.
Those little screw-in fluorescents are not supposed to go in the garbage.
Just going to put thing on their garage if you wanted to. Right. Is that what you were thinking?
Yeah.
They're light enough that.
Yeah, I just didn't know the accessibility. You're going to give us time to get them down and out, and I mean, you're not going to come to me on Friday afternoon and say we're going to do this on Saturday.
No, hopefully not. We're talking about distribution in two ways. One will be at events.
Okay.
But we also have a couple of store owners that may be interested.
Well, okay. It might be something good to do for Community Day if we had something set
right.
up. People
yes.
for.
It'd be wonderful.
Great, yeah.
All right. Yeah, we can store. We've got enough.
And Larry, you said the incandescent bulbs are not supposed to go in the trash. Where are they supposed to go?
No, they can.
They can.
Yeah,
okay.
But fluorescent bulbs, I was always under the impression that
the new ones.
Two. Yeah, yeah, but the compressed fluorescent
yeah.
screw-ins, I think, is regular.
Okay. Great. Yeah, I posted Memorial Day parade info in the American Legion monthly meeting info on the website. In advance of the meeting with the residents about 5G, I spoke with Fishkill and Woodstock mayors about their regulations, and I informed the group that there is no municipal regulation that can effectively restrict the placement of cell tower antenna. Even if you regulate, you can regulate its distance from homes, but cell phone companies can get around it by just putting the antennas on existing telephone poles, which is permitted. And I spoke with Verizon, Mid-Hudson, and Consolidated about fiber optics and requested Vince Randazzo to speak tonight. And I really enjoyed the corned beef dinner.
Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah. Correspondence. This is provided to the board and the public. And you have hard copies.
Mm-hmm.
Motions and resolutions.
Okay. To identify the Village Hall located at the rear of 124 Main Street, Philmont, New York, as a polling place for the Columbia County primary elections to be held on June 28th, 2022, and the general elections to be held on November 8th, 2022, made by.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
To hold the annual organizational meeting on Friday, April 1st at 6:30 p.m. in the Village Hall, made by.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
What time
opposed?
Did you say?
Carried. And the reason we're having it on Friday is because I'm not going to be here on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going on vacation.
Where are you going?
Outer Banks.
Cool.
Motion to hire Anya Bonanno. Bonanno. I know a
banana.
Your guess, yes.
I don't know.
Exactly. As a part-time library clerk for the Village of Philmont Library at the rate of $15 per hour effective March 14th as submitted by the Library Board and Director Farley. Made by.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Okay. Motion to authorize the mayor to sign a letter in support of the Preserve New York grant application as drafted by Sally Baker, made by?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Now these are, I've talked to Bob about transfers that are loans, and he felt like we didn't need a motion. We kind of discussed that maybe we should just have a motion since it's financial anyway. So we've basically done these, but Motion to transfer the amount of $7,378.19 from the water fund checking and $13,280.74 from the sewer fund checking to the general account savings to repay the loan made on 7/7/21 to pay the monolith settlement made by.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
A motion to transfer the amount of $26,439.64 from the general fund savings to the water fund checking to pay the annual EFC loan payment for the wells made by.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
To pay Byron Parker in the amount of $677.88 for the work done at 818 Route 2017 associated with the water main break made by.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion for the Village of Philmont Board to allocate the money received by the $5,000 Climate Smart Grant to be used for energy efficient light bulbs made by.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
I'd like to make a motion that the village support the Community Day Committee in the amount of $2,600 for the fireworks, towards the fireworks.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Unfinished business. I do have one thing. I'm a little disappointed at the participation tonight. Now that everybody said their piece about our zoning rules and regulations, there's nobody here to say it tonight. This is why things got forgotten. So I think, Deborah, you ought to put something on the website, applications for, I think we ought to do a comprehensive plan review first, and then we're going to want a zoning rules review. So however you want to word those applications. And I think how we ought to work this is that if we go through the applications and say, like, we get five people from Mid-Summit Street, we can only take one of those. We're going to have to pick and choose where these people come from. But it should be citizens. It should have nothing to do with the boards. It should have nothing to do with, sorry, Sally, it should have nothing to do with BBA. It should be citizens.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
And then at the end of their review, we can couple that and compare them to the information that you have about our comprehensive plan. You know, it was a big thing that says, no, we don't have to review the comprehensive plan because the Boa Grant's already done it.
No, update. Yeah. So you do want to update.
We're gone.
I'm the one that says, it's better that the village on all of the applications have an updated comprehensive plan.
Yeah.
It helps. It functions differently from the Boa. But my point that I was trying to make at that time was that the comprehensive plan was incorporated into as the foundation of the Boa. So you're going to see a lot of the same materials. Does not cancel out doing an updated.
No, I realize that, but
it's really important.
I'd like to compare the information what this committee gets and what you got.
So we're looking for how many people to be on a committee to review the comprehensive plan?
Five.
We're going to start out with a comprehensive
plan. And what do you do if you get eight? Review. Is there a review?
We're only going to take five.
But that way we'll be able to select
them
from different.
No, but what I'm saying, who selects the five?
We do,
okay.
Yeah. Based on representative from either demographics, areas of the village.
You should make up some kind of application.
Okay.
Don't just put it out there. Just
also, I
think about what kind of do you know any particular qualifications you want or questions?
No, I don't want any. They don't have to have any qualifications. They just have to be residents.
Okay.
That are concerned.
18 years old.
Yeah, I mean, this whole thing with the woods was crazy. Now, here we got crickets again. I figured that somebody would be here wanting some kind of review someplace. Now, since we didn't do what they wanted us to do, it's crickets again. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. So now we're just going to do it.
Okay. The other thing is, did we advertise for the open seats on the zoning and planning boards?
Okay.
We have,
what do you got?
I believe, one seat on zoning.
One seat on zoning.
And one alternate for zoning, and one alternate
for planning.
No. Whatever it is, I don't want to talk off the top of my head.
Nobody's got any alternates, and we need one zoning board member.
Okay. Are we going to place Mark Decker?
Yeah.
Sally wants to sign
a switch Tom Palin.
I've already done it. Can I add something there? I think, you know, for an update for a comprehensive plan, you might want to look at outreaching to see if you can get a consultant. It's a pretty difficult thing to do.
Well, we will do that once we have five people interested.
Okay, fair enough.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point.
Yeah, it's super complex. You know, Columbia Hudson, they might be able to help with funds.
Having been through this once already, I can kind of guide things the way that they need to go.
So are you saying who might be able to help? Columbia?
You could call, you know, Mike Tucker might have some ideas of who's funding updates on comprehensive plans. That's the kind of thing that they should have their finger on.
You can also get a hold of the Greenway. The Greenway is the one that wrote the grant for the first one.
They might. You could possibly do Greenway.
They're the ones that did the first one. They're the ones that sent me to school.
Greenway.
Yeah, but mostly it was coming through your small cities, though.
No, that was Greenway.
Who paid for the
consultant? That was a Greenway
person. Huh? Who paid for the consultants? Turned out to be whatever. What was that consultant?
It was Nan Stolzenberg, wasn't it?
Nope.
It wasn't?
No.
Was it Alon?
No.
That's off. No.
I have to get my notes out again.
He's a small city.
Trish, I think.
He did a lot on the comprehensive plan. Anyway, it is going to need help because it's super complex. To update a comprehensive plan.
I was speaking to a person who I have to go back in my notes about that, who I think would be very good. Trish, sending out once I get it all together and post it on the website, maybe we can also send them out.
I would like to see a copy of it before it went on.
Brian Stephen Kirk.
I don't think he's in the business anymore.
No,
oh, no.
He moved on.
He's certainly not in the business. That's why I was like, certainly high eyes in the air.
That was DBS planning. They were terrible.
Yeah. But we want to advertise
allegedly.
For both right now, Brian.
What's that?
What did you say?
I added in an allegedly.
Just the comprehensive plan.
Advertised now, right?
Yeah.
And then the zoning will be later, will follow.
Yeah, we're going to find out what the people want out of Philmont before we change the zoning.
Okay.
Can we fold into that comprehensive plan, maybe getting some ideas about what to do with the dog park? So that's resident.
Comprehensive plan doesn't deal with that. Well, it may deal with that a little bit in a broader scope.
But should we convene a group of residents to discuss possible things on that? Okay.
We got to get the ballpark cleaned up first. Do we have any of those dog signs to get them up down there?
I spoke to Trevor, he's putting some up there.
Is he still in there?
I hope so, those are.
Brad, do we record or broadcast the budget meeting? How does that work?
If it's a regular open session meeting, you would, yeah.
Okay.
If you're going to get into, so-and-so is a bad employee, so we shouldn't give him a raise, then that needs to be an executive session,
right?
Just as an example.
So our workshop at the end of the month, is that?
Our workshop at the end of the month is for the budget.
Is that an open meeting?
Yeah.
Okay, so I won't be there, so maybe
down
Jason,
to the softball field, there's been people
I'll be attending
that haven't been cleaning up after their dogs. So maybe could you put some special patrols in down there and sit down there for a couple months.
I'm all right on it.
Please.
You gotta go undercover though.
You can
come up and walk my dog if you want.
Yeah.
Since that place is starting to clean up, it's for everybody. It's not just for the two guys that train their dogs there.
Oh.
So now that it's cleaning up, I want the kids to be able to go down there and play without.
Do we need plastic bags for?
He's gonna put them on.
You're doing it. Great.
We're getting signs.
Down there, they've been down there since. And I would say if you see, there's been a number of people walking their dogs running loose. Mm-hmm. If you just are driving by and you see somebody just walking with their dog, just not on a leash, could you just remind them, you know, nicely, like, oh, you really need to have it on a leash.
There is a leash law in the village.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, but does that read as long as the dog is under your control? You don't have to have a dog on a leash.
No.
If that dog is under your control and under your command, you don't have to have a leash.
Well, there was one off its leash on Railroad Avenue today with no person around.
Well, that's a different story.
And there was another one I saw in the rearview mirror with a person who didn't have it leashed. And in my rearview mirror, I saw it run across Main Street, not with her. No, I'm just saying.
Well, don't come to Columbia Avenue, please. All right, I'm all done.
We still on old business?
Yeah, we do have on the items for discussion the police car storage at the Beaumont Riding Bend. The letters has a little sticky note on the side of it.
Yeah.
Oh, was it $100 before? What was the fee?
It was $100 before, yes.
Double.
And we did discuss the date on the letter. It would be effective the new budget year.
This is for the parking space?
Police car storage.
The department doesn't have, right, they currently don't have a place to store the car during the day, so they've stored up at the film room.
Oh, I see.
We can't use the warehouse on Elm Street.
That was mold due and
yeah.
I was bad at one time.
Well, my feeling is it's cheaper than paying a bond on a new building. If they're willing to let us keep the cars there for that, it's $2,400 a year, and our bond payment on a new building would be astronomical. So,
and technically, that money stays in the community too, right? We're kind of supporting the
business.
So,
do you need a motion tonight, or do you want to do it at the budget meeting?
You can do it at your budget meeting. I said when that came up, I abstained and just stayed out of it.
Okay.
We don't really need a motion. It's either we're going to pay it or we're going to
put
it somewhere else.
If we put it in the budget, we don't need a motion.
Make a motion.
Okay.
And I think just to throw it out there, they talked at Claverick. There's a Philmont fire truck in the Claverick town.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're going to be looking for you to find somewhere for that when you're done with the building. I didn't know if anybody had reached out.
Over here.
Or that's going back to our warehouse, I guess.
Oh, you wanted it.
No, that's it. That's. He's talking to Philmont, the old Seagraves.
The old
Seagraves is down below.
Oh.
Brian, would that be old business? The garbage truck?
Cool.
I throw it out. I do have prices coming. The guy has it. Like everything else.
All right. We'll wait till we get prices.
Trish, will you make a note for the budget for the consultant for the comprehensive plan? That has to be put in there.
Are we still in old business?
Yes.
So, I know there's signs up saying don't pour grease down the kitchen sink per village board. But I can attest to yesterday because I washed probably 60% of the dishes that we used yesterday, and there was no grease down there, and there's water bubbling up downstairs. And I've mentioned this for at least 6 years, and we have not done a darn thing to fix it. It has nothing to do with what goes down. It's blocked. I've had SD Hudson out here twice to blow it out, and they've had a snake on it, and it does not reach the road. So we can continue to have a substandard drainage system inside the firehouse, which is not healthy, or we need to make a plan this spring to dig it up and put in the proper pipe that reaches the drain at the end of the road. It's been a long time, and it's not healthy. It's not safe. If you go in there and there's water all over the floor and you respond on a call and you fall and slip and hit your head, and now we have two calls before we can even go to one call. So
just so you know, you're issue is a lot downstairs here. Your pipe runs the wrong way.
But that's irregardless. If we know it, then we need to fix it.
That's building. Yeah.
I know. Well, the village owns a building.
Right.
You know.
Do we know what it costs to fix it? Or what? Do we know exactly where the problem is?
Right down here at the bottom of the stairs, you can see it. It's clear as day. The pipe runs uphill.
But it still, bubbles up downstairs out of the drain. So it's not,
but it's not making its way. It's not right, going.
It's part of it.
It's not getting to it. So.
All right, I'll work on that with David.
Yeah. Either we can just run it out the side of the building and take the drain away from, and we just plug up the hole in there and just, you know, don't even have it come inside.
I'll work on that with David.
No reason to.
The only thing I have in mind is the cameras, but Vincent Burr isn't here. You probably don't know what's going on with the cameras. Maybe we can ask him for an update next month. You can maybe know.
Are we still negotiating with KeyBank for the property on Prospect Street?
No, they own it.
They own it.
Yeah. They finally paid the taxes.
Okay.
Well, we're not negotiating with them. I don't even think they know their house is gone. They just paid the taxes.
They didn't ask.
No.
Do we want to ask them if we can acquire that property?
What property?
Where the fire was. So that would give some parking down there on Prospect Street.
Again, to get the property.
The trouble with, they aren't going to give it to us because too much money's owed on it. And if we take it by eminent domain, we're responsible for the money.
Unless we have a land bank.
I thought they paid the taxes.
If we have a land bank.
They paid the taxes, but there's still liens on it, like there's no tomorrow.
So that's why municipalities created land bank, right? So that they are not responsible for those fees, is my understanding. Once it goes into the land bank, that's protects it from that. I could research that a little more thoroughly. Yeah,
you
but
better, because I don't know how you can take somebody's land and not give them any money.
Do you have a comment on that, Rob?
Yeah, you can do eminent domain, as Brian said. You get it appraised and you pay the fair market value of the taking. It might be worth reaching out to the bank, because every bank, Key Bank's a little hard to deal with, but they know that they've got a loss there, so they're looking to just recoup what they can and write off the difference. So there's plenty of times that they will make a deal with you.
And what about the land bank? Is that necessary to write that to get around?
You don't have to for a one parcel type of thing. You can manage it the way you are, especially if you have an eye to make it parking, because then you're putting it into a municipal purpose.
Right.
And then we'd be responsible for the upkeep of the parking lot and maintenance of it.
Yep, building it, constructing it, prevailing wage.
We don't want to get any taxes on it because then it'd be
the exemption. I think we should table that for a while.
Table it? What do you mean?
I think we should table the discussion on Prospect Street property.
Okay. What's going to happen with it in the meantime? Like it'll just, the bank?
The bank just takes care of it and pays taxes on it.
Okay.
That's a workshop discussion. Anybody got any new business? Motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Mark made this week.
No, it wasn't me.
No, I haven't been.
Good night, Selma.
Trophy.